Blog Talk Radio.
Empowered Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com. My name is Evan Dorian. I'm your host, joined by our co-host, Craig Cook. It's time to elevate the mind, body, and spirit. So thank you for joining us tonight. My Empowered World is here to inspire, transform, and empower the human experience. We help you achieve this by providing empowering experiences through content, products, tools, and services that elevate the mind, body, and spirit, resulting in a world that becomes a better place for everyone. So be sure to check out our website at MyEmpoweredWorld.com, sign up for our free daily empowerment emails, and also follow us on our social network channels. We've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest as well. And that will get you hooked up into our ecosystem and empower your world daily. If anyone has any questions tonight, please feel free to post them on our Facebook wall. And we'll try to answer them before the end of the show. And Craig, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Evan. Doing great. Happy to be here and excited to speak with our guest tonight, Jason. He was awesome last time.
Yep. It's exciting to have him back on the show tonight. And we were just last time we had him on the show, we were just about to get into most of the topics we're going to cover tonight. Let me introduce our guest. We have a great guest. His name is he's an My Empowered World contributor, and his name is Jason Demakis. Jason, writer obsessed with all things personal growth, cares and empowers others on a daily basis, offline. Consciously bringing the totality of our being into congruency, so we may experience our full potential, manifest our highest goals and desires, and achieve the highest levels of self fulfillment possible. So, Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on again. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Awesome. Doing great. So, tonight's show, let me give everyone an overview. Tonight, we're going to kind of talk about the relationship between personal growth, metaphysics, and quantum mechanics. So, Craig, if you want to go ahead and ask
sure.
A great question prepared here. We just go ahead and go right into it.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, Jason. Well, yeah, it's great to have you here. And I know last time, we were starting to get on a roll and getting on some, really interesting topic, and we ran out of time and went by so fast. So
definitely.
Let's get right into it.
let's do it.
Let's talk about this topic of metaphysics. And I'd like to know, what got you interested in it. But before you even answer that, why don't you just real quickly give a quick definition for metaphysics for people out there that may not be familiar with that term. I think maybe 70s, 80s, 90s people are probably pretty familiar with it, but not sure how much people have been really keeping up with that term. So give a quick definition, and then we'll get into let us know how you got interested in the subject.
Definitely. That's a solid place to start. All right, so with metaphysics, there are quite a few different definitions for the term depending on approaching whatever it is you're approaching. The way that I usually define it for the stuff that I talk about and the things that I write and discuss is metaphysics is pretty much just kind of the information or the data that kind of exists, if you want to say, like between the lines of reality or between the lines of like what science can grasp at this point. And it's kind of like this like meta data that just kind of exists in between what's going on and like what we currently know as scientific data. And it might not be something that we know exactly what it is yet, but there's some sort of causality there that is absolutely valid that creates real-world effects, even if we don't quite understand it yet. We can observe some sort of effect. That's sort of how I would try and round up that kind of ambiguous definition and kind of try and give it some form, if you will.
Yeah, that's great, because I like the way you term metadata, because having a background in online web development and so forth, there's a thing called meta tags, and I think a good analogy is there's websites, web pages that people can actually see and experience, but behind that, there's metadata that has a cause and effect on what people actually see. So there's kind of the seen and then the unseen. And would you say kind of the metaphysics is kind of dealing with the unseen, what kind of happens back there. And I like the aspect of how you're talking about information and data.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really good analogy. I think of it sometimes like that too, almost like if you have a web page and then you have the HTML for that web page, that metadata in the background, that code, the brackets, all the, the hexadecimal code and all that, that's what's actually responsible for the display that you're seeing, is all the colors and the video and all that. But that
right.
metadata in the background is really what's making that effect. And I think that's kind of like how to approach metaphysics or quantum mechanics. Is that like
right.
background data that you can kind of hack into? And if you know how to manipulate that code, you can achieve effects that you would otherwise be oblivious to.
Right, right. And as opposed to standard physics, which deals with the material theme world that we all see and live in here. But now let's, and there is, like you said earlier, there's a lot of different perspectives and areas in metaphysics. There's a lot to it. So, let's start getting talking about your particular interest in metaphysics and what got you started in the first place.
Absolutely. I would say probably sometime around 7th or 8th grade for me, I started to get a keen interest in just like basic physics. I really liked astronomy, and I was just kind of, interested in, just like planets and stars and, the distances between galaxies and stuff like that was just interesting to me. And then as I got a little older, I'd start reading more and more serious, heavy information on the topics, and I'd start getting like questions that I'd be writing down that I'd be like, I can't find the answers to these, or no one seems to be asking these. And then I would come across some quantum mechanics stuff. I can't even remember what it was initially, but it was just like, wow, this is exactly the type of thinking that I've been thinking since I can remember, and it's just, it like clicked. It was just like, oh man, this is the type of questions that I feel like I've been asking all my life, and it's good to know that there's like a branch of science out there that field that arena of questions. And ever since then, it's just like that perfectly aligns with personal growth, everything. It's just like all lined up for me, and it's kind of like supplemental to just about everything I write about and deal with, and in my daily life too. Just being very aware and conscious of how all of this stuff ties in, as I'm sure the questions you're about to get to will deal with, in regards to how your individual experience can be summed up quantum mechanically or metaphysically. And if you approach it that way, you can get some pretty unique effects and results in your life. And that's kind of what got me hooked on it, was just doing some self-experimentation and correlating with others, especially when the internet started becoming big and seeing that there were tons of websites on this stuff. And just from there, it's just like, it's just been ever, ever present in my life. And it's something that's always, always in my life, if you will. So that's how.
Let's say,
yeah.
So it did start at an early age, and you're fascinated by some aspects of the world and the universe that we live in. And actually interesting how you relate it to personal growth. I think that's a good segue into talking about how do we get practical with metaphysics? How can we
Definitely.
Use this subject matter? How can we use that for our own personal growth and goal setting?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think that's one that gets kind of glossed over a bit. And I know a lot of people ask this question a lot, and, you come across a lot of new age stuff online or even in books that, totes like the law of attraction and just basically oversimplifying a bunch of higher order material that, unless you really think critically and know how to apply what's actually being taught to you, you're not really digesting it. You're just kind of being romanticized a bit by the idea of like what the law of attraction is, and kind of being enamored in the possibility of just having whatever you think about manifest. And I think a lot of people approach it the wrong way, and they get some pretty lousy results because they're kind of flawed in their approach. And
right.
Personal development ties in, because we all know that when you're developing yourself, it requires a level of personal effort on your part to, set and achieve goals, or, transform yourself, whether it be your diet or your career or whatever. And the law of attraction can kind of mislead people into thinking that you can just get an instant result by thinking or, staring at a dream board for long enough. But when you get down
right.
to it, when you get down to
really,
it,
yeah,
definitely. When you get down to the brass tacks of it, though, the law of attraction isn't a supplement for like direct personal action and effort. And that's kind of where the metaphysics comes in, because I kind of I was journaling about a month ago, and I came up with sort of an idea that is really simple in concept, and I can't believe I never really thought of it before. It's so simple, but it's been in my mind ever since. But the idea is this: if you really want to activate the law of attraction, just imagine that the law of attraction doesn't exist, and that the universe is not going to assist you in any way, and that you have to do all the work yourself. And when you get in that mindset and you start doing the work yourself, that's when the law of attraction kicks in, and it always works every time for me. So it's kind of like
right.
my little mantra. It's to almost
so you're kind
like,
of you're flipping it. You're reversing the sequence where, say, a movie like The Secret says, think
yeah.
positive and think what you want, and it'll suddenly come to you, kind of, it'll come. But, like you said, it kind of romanticizes it, and they really don't get into the details. It's a really surface level when it comes to it. I mean, the law of attraction seems to be actually real and something to it, but a lot of people don't talk about that real component that you're talking about, that it takes action. So I think what's very interesting is that you're saying, no, actually take action and do what you need to do, and then everything's going to start coming to you, right? Am I understanding you correctly?
Absolutely, and that's the thing, too, is I don't want people to think that I'm dismissing any kind of, like, higher-order synchronicity, because this segues perfectly into what I was going to move into about the idea of there almost being, like, three levels of consciousness reflection in what we call our experience. So you have like the subconscious mind, which is where, all your thoughts, emotions, your memories, your impulses, all of that like reactivity is stored. Then you have your conscious mind, which is, what we're discussing right now, talking over the phone, doing this interview. We know what we're talking about. We're conscious of it. We make our decisions, your choices. And then you have super conscious, which is kind of that mercurial level we can't really grasp, that just kind of seems like that coincidences line up when we're thinking about things, or number sightings, or really, really, really improbable synchronicities that just kind of correlate too much with what we're thinking or feeling at the time. And I think
right.
all three of those levels are working together at the same time, and that's kind of why it's hard to grasp or necessarily talk about certain levels of law of attraction, because I think it's active across like a multitude of arenas, if you will, and it's not just one thing. It's kind of like gears meshing and lining up and several different layers working together behind the scenes with like that metadata we were kind of talking about earlier. But
metadata could be possibly the subconscious level. But then the superconscious could maybe be the equivalent, correct me if I'm wrong here, of maybe the programmer itself, because is the superconscious more kind of like the higher self? Is that how some people kind of relate to that?
Definitely. That's actually a really good way to put it. And that's another thing, too, is like all of the terms we're using right now, we're just describing the same stuff that people in other cultures describe all the time as like, source energy or chi, consciousness, mind. It's all the same stuff. It's just the label's different. And when you read enough and you study enough, you start to realize that like most of the philosophy is describing the same thing. It's just like the context within the person describing it is giving it that like cultural tint to it, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. That's even reading a lot of articles and even some books on quantum physics, you do start to notice, like, well, this is interesting. This is what Native American culture has been speaking about for centuries, or Chinese culture for thousands of years, how everything's coherent and interconnected.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting. So overall, your opinion on the law of attraction is that, if I'm understanding it, it is real. It's just really how you go about it work for you and when it comes to your own personal growth, right?
Definitely. I would say for the law of attraction, I know that I kind of took it on a negative spin there for a second, but with the law of attraction and personal growth, I think the key is to detach from any outcome that you're expecting to happen and just kind of enjoy the process and the journey and don't get caught up in like an end result or a destination, because the more you do that, the more you fall out of phase with like what your goal is actually about. And most people don't realize that like setting a goal is one thing, like setting a date to do something or, you know, to lose weight or to change a career or something or by this date is great. But really the purpose of your goal is to help you transform into a new type of person. Like your whole being changes. It's like the person you become by achieving your goal is really what the goal is. It's kind of like that secondary benefit that most people miss, where you're kind of changing your character, you're becoming a new person, you're evolving yourself by setting goals and moving towards them, and you benefit by that in ways you probably don't realize, and the people you have relationships with benefit from that as well. So it's kind of like a win-win all-around situation. And the law of attraction is kind of like going off in the background, where the more you consciously and deliberately try and become as congruent as you can be with your goal, the law of attraction will help you fill in the cracks there, where, like, you know, you're really doing your best, and when you need like that extra boost, like the law of attraction will be there to help you, but you have to be pushing, you know, full force the whole time. You can't just expect it to be there and pick up the slack. It's not going to do that. And I feel like that's where people kind of slip a little bit, is they kind of want it to be a reason to not push themselves and have to like push to failure and experience, you know, uncomfortableness for a bit.
Right. We all have to earn it. Very good. Yeah. What do you think, Evan? That's interesting stuff.
It's great stuff. It's definitely, I like the, you know, Jason's thoughts on, you know, action oriented, you know, don't worry about the things that were going to come to you. Just focus on doing what you need to do, and then those other things will start. It'll start attracting those. Everything will start attracting you when you know what you want to do and you just go after it. And I truly believe in that. But Let's just go to a commercial break here, real quick, and we'll be right back. Empowering Radio.
You're listening to Empowering Radio from My Empowered World. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MyEmpoweredWorld. And remember to share and help us spread our message of empowerment.
And we're back on Empowering Radio, brought to you by MyEmpoweredWorld.com, with our guest tonight, Jason Demakis. And just getting back into metaphysics, and let's just go into the next question here. Can you switch dimensions and perceive other realities? Can you kind of go a little deeper on that, maybe? Sorry.
No, definitely. That's a fun one. I would say theoretically, yes, but I think the ability to replicate it scientifically is really tricky, and I think that's where it starts to get murky on both sides of the fence there. People that like demand like a scientific definition or explanation of some of the claims people make, because I don't know if you guys are familiar with the concept of remote viewing, or if any of the listeners are familiar with that concept, or if you guys have ever even heard that term before.
Yes, definitely heard of it at a base level, at least.
I've heard of it. I don't know much about it.
The basic idea is that if you kind of follow the law of one, which just ultimately boils down to everything being like one source consciousness or one source energy or whatever you want to call it, consciousness or just source or whatever, that gets divided up into like individual units, which you could say are like the human soul or consciousness slices. And on a higher level, since we're all that source energy, you can theoretically tap into other people's perspectives from their conscious source. So like you can basically, it's almost like changing channels on the TV where you go from viewing reality through your eyes to viewing reality through like your friend's eyes, almost like you're jumping in the passenger seat of another person's experience. And there have been reports of this. I've never done it myself, nor do I even know how to begin approaching it. But there have been reports of people having experiences and correlating data that's just way too improbable for them to just like be hoaxing it and stuff like that. But another really important area that I've been learning a lot more about, I don't know if you guys are familiar with, but that's like the area of shamanism. I don't know how familiar you guys are with mm-hmm. that topic in general.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But that's probably the closest, if people are seriously looking for information on like dimensional shifting, or if they have any types of questions about shifting dimensions or altered states of consciousness, I would highly suggest researching shamanism. You can start pretty much anywhere. You could just type that in on Google and then just start reading the first thing that comes up. But basically what shamanism is, for people that aren't aware of it, and I'm still pretty new to the research myself, so excuse me if there are people out there that know more than me about what I'm about to say. But shamanism was basically the practice of an individual who'd be considered like a wise man or a village elder and someone that was just very in tune with the types of things we're talking about. He would use hallucinogenic plants that were local to the native environment, and he would kind of shift levels, and he would almost tap into the metadata database we were talking about earlier. This correlates with everything we were just talking about, but he'd almost like using hallucinogenic plants like salvia or psilocybin mushrooms, natural hallucinogens, he would basically shift his consciousness up to different levels, and he'd tap into data and information. Basically, he'd know what the weather was going to be from a week from now. He'd know where the game was coming from, where the deer were going to be, where to hunt, which way the rain was going to blow, who was going to flood, who was sick in the village. He'd basically have like a behind-the-scenes look, and he'd be like dead on with his accuracy. And the more that anthropologists study this stuff, the more that data kind of correlates with what we were just talking about, which I find very interesting, especially the fact that it's a non-high-tech cultural type thing. It's very basic, connected to nature. There's no computer being used. There's no books. It's kind of just like a raw connection to nature. And I think that's what's really most interesting to me, is how that connection can show you and lead you to that behind-the-scenes, supposedly in theory, that metadata and that kind of connection behind what we see on the surface level of reality, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Absolutely.
How would, like, you know, someone like me, how long would it take for me to develop something, you know, skills like that to be able to, you know, remote view?
Definitely. Like I said, I'm not an expert in that area, but I would say, if you studied shamanism, you could probably get a good idea of how they did it. I've never done anything like that personally. That's why I can't say for sure if this is legitimate or, you know, it's just anecdotal. But I've read some information of people getting some really, really accurate results with remote viewing and shamanism. And I know everyone has boundaries with this stuff, but hallucinogenic drugs, and if you do it in the right mind state and mindset, you can get some pretty amazing results and get a glimpse into your own consciousness as well as your connection to the environment. But I would say definitely that route.
Yeah, and I think you hit on something that's important that people definitely have to be careful, because there's people that go down to South America to go take ayahuasca and so forth. And there's some bad stories there where people just aren't getting hooked up with the people that really know what they're doing. So it's really important.
Exactly.
If you're going to go that route, that you need to go that route the right way. And you know, that's a whole other topic. But, you know, there's another way besides that. And I would say that would be through meditation. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want you to let us know about what you think about meditation and, you know, those are other types of forms to kind of pretty much reach the same information database in a sense, right?
Absolutely. That's what I was just going to get to is that there is an even more natural way to do it. You don't need to take drugs. You don't need to go to a rainforest. You don't need to study underneath a shaman. You can learn. You can do this completely by yourself and just meditate and refine your consciousness to the point where you gain better control over yourself, your thoughts, your emotions, your behavior, and kind of begin to peel away the different layers of yourself, and you kind of see what's artificial and what's like socially programmed onto you, and you get to learn your real personality. And then through that, you kind of get a deeper connection to that metadata we're talking about in a different way, where you have like a natural connection to yourself and how you relate to your environment. Your connection is much more, I like to call it like you're calibrated to reality. That's how I like to think about it, is you're in tune with it. You're on the same page. You know, your days flow. You have a sense of flow in your life. There's synchronicity every day. You know, things are just going good. Your mood and your behavior is just lining up. Everything is just great. And, you know, and that's when you become congruent with the law of attraction too. Like we were talking about earlier, is you just kind of get into a flow of taking actions that feel natural to you, but you're pushing yourself at the same time. There's a natural balance. You don't have to force yourself to act, but you have like a natural impulse, and it's just easy and it's effortless. And you know it when you're in it. It's hard to describe it, and it sounds oversimplified when you talk about it too much, but when you're in that state, you just know. You know everything's lining up, and meditation definitely helps fuel that. And at least for me, I've experimented with all kinds of different types of meditation and mantra and all that stuff. And I have a daily meditation practice that I do for 20 minutes in the morning every day, and I just do it once. And once I'm done with that, it's like my day is just – it just flows like – it's just such a good habit. I highly suggest it. If you guys don't do it already, I highly suggest starting to meditate.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Definitely do it on my end, and it's very helpful. What form of meditation are you using for yourself?
For myself, I just use – actually, it's very basic. It's almost like it's probably closer to a breathing exercise, but it does involve a little bit of visualization and – I used to be vocal with it, but now I'm not. I kind of just keep it internally, internal dialogue. But it's just basically deep breaths, paced evenly, and then I do a couple different sets of breathing, and then I kind of get into like a flow state of just thinking, and I kind of consciously push my emotional state to a point where I'm just experiencing joy, and I move myself toward the idea of what I think joy is, and just feeling joy in the present moment, and just happiness, and then abundance. And those three words I anchor myself on and try to just bring my emotional state up to what I think those words feel like for about 20 minutes. And then I open my eyes and I just start my day and everything just flows and it's awesome. And I notice that on days when I don't do it, if I'm in a hurry, it's just like my whole routine gets screwed up and I'm just off like all day. So it's like I definitely benefit from doing it more than when I don't, that's for sure.
That's cool. Interesting. Yep. So you're really focusing on emotion. That's
yes.
Interesting. Very cool. Well, Evan, I think we're about running out of time, right?
Yep. We're almost done here. Jason, thank you for being on the show tonight.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. It's a blast as always.
Absolutely. Thanks again for what you contribute to My Empowered World as well.
Always. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks a lot, Jason.
Thank you.